This is Living the RV Dream, episode number 32 for Friday, November 10, 2017.
I'm riding
with my RV,
wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV.
Hello, happy campers, and welcome to another edition of the Living the RV Dream podcast. I'm going to start calling it the Free in My RV podcast. I am your host, of course, Robert Morales, and this episode is brought to you by my YouTube channel. Since we don't have any other sponsor, just go to Traveling Robert on YouTube and you'll see all kinds of videos of all my travels, and this is my passion. My passion is making videos, telling stories about all the places that we visit, and everywhere there's something interesting in every single. You would not believe that, like, the smallest town in the middle of nowhere has a story. And we intend to do this for the rest of our lives here, really. It is my passion, and it is my goal to visit the lower 48 in the next couple of years, or even Alaska, of course. And when we have visited most of the national parks and most of the main places to visit here in the United States, and that could take decades, but the idea is, and we just had this great idea, and a lot of people are doing it, is just go to Europe and buy a cheap camper van and just spend, springs, summer and autumn in Europe, 6 months, and explore. That would be an epic adventure. And then a little further in the future, I would like to do South America. Go all the way to Patagonia in Argentina and Chile, and yeah. And for me, it would be easy because I speak Spanish, so South America, and I do understand Portuguese, and I speak a little of Portuguese, so South America should be natural for us. But for now, we are here, and we are, traveling the roads of the United States with our Winnebago Micro Mini 1706 FB travel trailer, 19-footer, and we have a lot of fun with it. We just did an upgrade to our Micro Mini. A couple of weeks ago, I contacted this company. I've seen them advertised in a lot of places, and they make this RV lock, and their name is naturally RV Lock. And they make this sort of high-tech RV lock. It has a keyless entry. You can enter with a passcode, or it has also the key fob, like your car, a remote control. You can open and close the RV. And I contacted them, and I told them, hey, would you send me a free one if I show it on YouTube? And they say, yeah, sure. And they send me one of the top-of-the-line units. Is like $260, I believe it is, retail on Amazon right now. I'll put a link on the show notes if you're interested. By the way, the show notes will be at travelingrobert.com/podcast/0032 for this episode. And I received the unit, the RV lock, and installed it. And it works as advertised. The installation is very, very straightforward, at least for a regular travel trailers. And, most travel trailers and Class Cs, they have the same kind of lock. With the latch on top, and then the red knob on the bottom to lock it from the inside. So it has like two keyholes, if you will, and this one does too. And you just unscrew the four screws of your old lock and the two screws on the side, and it's a easy swap. They claim that it takes 10 minutes to swap it out, and it does. It was pretty easy. This one is a little bigger, so it almost didn't fit into the hole that on the fiberglass of my door. But I just had to force it in a little bit, and then it fit perfectly. And it works as advertised, really. The only gripe that I have, it's a little irksome. It does make a loud beeping noise when you lock and when you unlock. And not even in cars. I don't like when the car beeps when you lock it and unlock it. So that's the one thing. And I I wish there was a way to mute it, or at least make it less loud, because it is pretty loud in the middle of the night in the campground. You know what I mean, when it's really silent outside, you're not in the city, you're in the middle of nowhere, and that thing goes beep beep. It could be a little annoying, not to mention it bother your neighbors, but otherwise it's very cool. In other news, I don't know if I told you, but last weekend, well, if you follow me on Instagram or Facebook at Traveling Robert, you know where I went. We did one of the bucket list destinations that we had in mind for many, many years, and that was the Dry Tortugas National Park. Is it pronounced Dry Tortugas? I don't know. I pronounce it Tortugas because Tortuga is a Spanish word that means turtle or tortoise, I guess. So I guess it's the Dry Tortuses, what it means naturally. But let me tell you about the trip to the Florida Keys and the recovery from Hurricane Irma. It's been, 2 months, a little over 2 months. And in Key Largo, it's like, I mean, there's no noticeable damage anymore. It's like nothing happened, really. Maybe there's a palm tree a little crooked and here and there, but it's like nothing happened, really. And the northern Isla Morada still looks pretty good. As you go south, little by little, you start seeing little piles of rubble here on the street, you know, that they haven't picked up yet. But once you reach, like after Whale Harbor, if you know the overseas highway, well, I know it almost by heart because I've made this trip so many times since I was very young. But after, you know, once you enter Isla Morada, there's the Theater of the Sea. Then there's the old tiki bar that there is no longer there because it got blown out by the hurricane. After that bridge over the Whale Harbor channel, that's when you start seeing more and more damage gradually as you continue going south, or west rather. And by the time you reach Marathon, they haven't gotten there yet, I don't think, with the cleanup effort as much, and even south of Marathon. Once you cross that 7 mile bridge, yeah, there's piles of rubble on both sides of the road. It's still pretty bad. But as you reach Key West, unless you notice that the Welcome to Key West sign is still a hand painted sign, you know, like with a spray paint, like they haven't recovered the original Welcome to Paradise, Conk Republic, whatever it said. They haven't recovered it yet. I believe someone found it in Fort Myers, or there's a rumor that someone stole it and then they returned it to the Fort Myers ferry. Anyway, to make a long story short, Key West looks like nothing happened there. Seriously, it's like all back to normal. And the one sad thing is that tourism, I don't know exactly, but it feels like it's less than 50% of what it usually is. So the businesses are kind of desperate for your business, you know. But in a sense, it's like, it is strange because we always used to have super friendly service in all the establishments in Key West, and we went to our usual, you know, the El Mesón de Pepe. It's like our landmark destination there, you know. It's right there by Mallory Square, and we love to sit at the bar. And instead of participating in the sunset celebration, sometimes we just sit there sipping mojitos and rum and cokes. Well, we see the sunset in the distance and the sunset celebration. But we went there, and the place wasn't even that busy. We found sitting at the bar. When you find a seat at the bar, that means that the place is not busy at all. And we sat there for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 minutes. And the guy was there, you know, cleaning glasses, and he didn't even acknowledge us. It's like we were invisible. And that's very sad because all these businesses need our business. And if they don't acknowledge the customer, we're going to go someplace else. And that was a little shocking, a little sad. The same thing happened to us at Captain Tony's. Which is actually, I learned recently when a viewer of the YouTube channel told me that was the original location of Sloppy Joe's. And then in 1938, they raised the rent by $1, and Sloppy Joe's moved to its current location on Duval Street. So that's a cool story. But yeah, we found that the service in a lot of the places was a little lacking. Eventually, we ended up at, of all places, Señor Frog's. And it's not my favorite place in the world, but we were walking by the street and they greeted us like we were royalty. Yes, come in, take the table. What would you like to drink? And this and that. And we had some quesadillas. We were not that great. But, you know, overall, it was a good experience. In my opinion, the service you receive at a place is like 50% of your experience, if you will. We wanted to visit the Key West Lighthouse. We've never been there, but they closed at 4:30, and by the time we got there, there was no way we could visit. And I'm going to try to post a video of this trip this weekend, by the way, this Sunday coming up. But anyways, we finally did... The bucket list trip to the Dry Tortugas. You know, I think they're still having a special. It's like 60% off. They have the trip on the Yankee Freedom Ferry, which is a 2.5 hour trip to the Dry Tortugas National Park. And they have it for $99 per person. And that includes the entrance to the park and everything. So I think it's a very good deal. The only thing that wasn't as great about this trip also was the weather. It was the sea world was a little choppy, especially when we were almost getting to the Dry Tortugas. So we got a little seasick, and it's a little bit of a tedious trip when the boat is going up and down for 2.5 hours. But overall, very, very beautiful place. The colors on the water, you will not believe the colors on the water in the Dry Tortugas National Park. It's like this aqua. Like, you know, it doesn't look real. It's one of those things that you see in some Caribbean postcard or hotel brochure, and you say, nah, it can't possibly look like that. But yeah, it does. It's like that. I was going to do some, and I tried to do some snorkeling. It's supposed to be very, very good snorkeling, but the visibility wasn't as good, maybe because of the rough seas, and because of the rough seas, we couldn't go to the best area, which is the North Beach. They told us we had to go to South Beach, and yeah, the visibility wasn't as great. I think the hurricane also did some damage there. Because there was a lot of coral, like on the land, on the island, and yeah. But well, the Fort Jefferson was also a very nice historic tour, if you will. And then we walked around the fort on the moat, and it was a very relaxing day overall. And it's one of those bucket list destinations, you know, you're in the middle of nowhere, very far away from all kinds of civilization. And then, of course, we returned to Key West that night. And as you know, I love Key West and I love the Florida Keys. And I just learned through another YouTube channel. You should check them out. Their channel name is Living the Keys Life. And they just posted that a Honda State Park just reopened, and that's great news. I'm gonna try to get in next weekend or the weekend after. I know it's almost impossible, but I'm gonna try buy a Honda. I'm gonna go every day to the Reserve America site and check it out. Or the other state park that I would love to go is Long Key State Park. Long Key is, by the way, the closest one to Isla Morada, and Isla Morada is the one island of the Keys that I haven't explored nearly enough. So we want to go there. We're going to try to get into one of the state parks in the Florida Keys this month. And then December, I have a couple of music gigs. As you know, I'm a musician, and that's something else that I want to talk about after. But in December, I have a couple of music gigs here in Miami. Not as many as I thought. They canceled already two of them on me. It must be the economy. I don't know. But then in January, of course, the plan is to go to the Florida RV Super Show in Tampa. That is going to happen from January 16th through January 21st. And January 16th is Industry Day, so you have to sign up, and with like a company. I'm gonna go sign up as a Traveling Robert blog and podcast, and they should have no problem with that. The only problem with Industry Day, the great thing is that there's nobody there, so you have pretty much the show all to yourself. The only negative thing about Industry Day is that, you know, all the vendors are still kind of setting up and they don't really want to talk to you. It's, you know, it's one of those days, it's like a soft opening, if you will. Then on Wednesday the 17th is Senior Day and seniors get a $1 off. And then probably the best day to go is that Wednesday or Thursday and Friday, because on the weekend, last year, it was unbearably busy. It was packed. It was like... there was a long line of cars outside to go in. You know, it's becoming one of those shows that the attendance keeps increasing and increasing year after year. And on the weekend, by 10 a.m., by 11 a.m., you cannot go into any RVs. All the RVs are full of people, especially me, that I like to go in with a camera and take videos. So what I'm going to do, like I did the last time, last year, I'll go early in the morning and see what I want to see. I'll speak to whom I want to speak at by noon. I'm out of there. By the way, I think Saturday, John and Kathy Huggins are going to be there to meet and greet with the listeners. And I'm going to be there probably too on Saturday, which is the day that most people go at some point. Location and time to be determined. And we can do a meet and greet as well, a meetup. I would love to. Last year I met up with like 10 of you guys, and this year I would love to meet up with a lot of you as well. Speaking about my music, and I'd like to get your feedback, because a lot of you have probably listened to my CD either online or purchased when I had it. You know, I had a double CD with 30 of my tunes that I've composed. And I use them as background for my videos. And this evening at 6 p.m., I am going to... If you're listening on Friday, because if you're listening 3 weeks from now, obviously that ship has sailed. But today, Friday, November 10th at 6 p.m., I'm going to do a live video on YouTube. And one of the things that I want is your feedback, because I'm gonna come up with the greatest hits kind of CD. It's probably going to be like 15... to 20 tunes, including four new tunes that I've composed, including a brand new version of my my theme song, which is riding in my RV. And I got my friend Chuchi to record live trumpets and trombones in one part, and I'm rearranging the lyrics a little bit. It's a new remix. It's a new remix, and I'm going to put it on this brand new CD. But I would like your feedback, if you can tell me which are your favorite songs, your favorite tunes of mine, if you have listened to them. I'm obviously going to include Foothills, and I'm going to include California Road Trip and Music City and all those, and all my Latin rhythm tunes. But if you tell me your favorites, I will take that into consideration, because I'm making a brand new CD with the greatest hits. Hopefully I'll have it in time for Christmas. Otherwise, well, I'll have it at some point. But make sure to tune in to YouTube this evening at 6 p.m. And you can leave me your feedback in the chat room, or if you don't want to do that, just send me an email, robert@travelingrobert.com, or if you go to travelingrobert.com, as you know, there's that send voicemail link on the top right corner of the website, and you can communicate with me in that way too. Moving along, I don't know if you saw it, a couple of weeks ago I made a video about 10 RVing essentials. And those 10 RVing essentials are, of course, and I lost my page here. Give me 1 second. RVing essentials. Of course, number one was a surge protector, because you never know when you're going to get that lightning or a brownout at the campground. Also, when the light flickers, that could damage your air conditioning compressor. And this unit that I got from Southwire, by the way, in full disclosure, they sent it to me for free, like the RV lock and all that. It will have a timer, a 2-minute timer, so your compressor in your air conditioning has time to, I don't know exactly what it does, but it's doing it now. It's supposed to, whatever it's supposed to do. And that's very important. Also, a water pressure regulator. You have no idea what happened to me in Georgia. I had a leak in my kitchen sink faucet. And luckily, it was just a leak. I just had to tighten the hose to the connector and everything was fine. But I think the culprit was that I forgot to put on my water pressure regulator. Very important to have that. Of course, you want to have a water filter because you don't know the quality of the water everywhere. The number four is a weather radio, and the one that I have really is the Midland unit, the white one that the most common one, and I'm not very happy with it because setting it up is a little bit of a pain. You know, you have to like select the county, I mean the state and the county, and it's a slow interface from like, it looks like something from 1990 really. Nowadays, you would think that they would put a GPS chip in there and the radio would know where you are, but no. Anyways, number five, a first aid kit. And what I showed is really a survival kit that they sent me also for review. By the way, that survival kit, I have a bunch of coupon codes that you can get a deep discount on it. I'm going to put them in the show notes as well. Number six, flashlights or a headlamp is also very useful. Number seven, I chose to a multi-tool because you never know when you have to like tighten something or you know, these multi-tools that have like pliers and screwdrivers and knives and all kinds of stuff. It's good to have a couple of those. Number eight, for your safety, a tire pressure monitoring system or TPMS. And I recently got one from the Tire Minder, which seems to be the one that everybody recommends. And it is an outstanding product. It's really, once you set it up, you just have to keep it charged. And I suppose when the batteries die on the sensors, I might have to I don't know if I'm going to have to recalibrate them. I'll probably have to repair them again to the mothership, if you will, to the main unit that displays, you know, the pressure and the temperature, and it'll beep an alarm if there is a problem. I also recommend having an air compressor just to fill your tires. And I have one, I have a cheap one that they send me for free, but you can get them and you know, make sure your tires are inflated to the proper PSI, you know, to the proper pressure. Because you know, you don't want to have a blowout in the middle of the road, and the convenience of having an air compressor that works on 12 volts, so you can even do it while boondocking, is a lot of gas stations, they're especially in cities like here, they're not set up for an oversized vehicle like an RV, so it's better, you know, you can do it in the campground and inflate them before you leave. It's very good, or wherever you keep your RV. Leveling blocks is something very important to have. That's number 10. And I made the list with 13, and there's a lot more. I got so many more suggestions. The leveling blocks I use the Lynx system, which are this, they're like Legos. I'm sure you've seen them. And number 11, a lug wrench, because you want to keep those lug nuts tight. And every once in a while, you know, I make sure that they're tight. You don't want to lose, a tire in the middle of the road, especially if you have like a single axle trailer. That would be catastrophe. I have a dual axle trailer, so I suppose it would keep going even with three tires. Number 12, hose extensions, because you never know when that campground where you're staying at, you know, sometimes the sewer hose, I don't know what they're thinking, but they put the sewer hose, the sewer hole 25 feet away, so your regular sewer hose won't get there, so you need to get an extension. You know, I have the red one, I think it's made by Volterra, and you can really put as many of those together as you want. Also, a drinking water hose. It only happens once to me at the Sebastian Inlet. I have a 25-foot hose, which should be enough for most campgrounds, but in this place, the water spigot was way out there. It was like 40 feet away. Luckily, I was able to find a hose at the nearby Walmart, and we were all good. Also, and this only happens once in a blue moon, especially with the newer sewer outlets. They have the ones with the screw-on cap. Sometimes they get jammed because, you know, stuff gets in the thread. You know what kind of stuff? Could be, you know, sand or mud. Or sometimes the previous person just put it back too tight. So you need a sewer cap wrench, and Camco makes one that is a really good product. I mean, it's simple. It's just a universal, you know, plastic wrench. Now, when I made that video, I asked you guys for feedback on which other items you think would be nice to have in an RV. And actually, when I was staying a couple of weeks ago at LJ, Georgia, I met up with fellow RVers, full-timers. They're a full-timing family. Robert and Jessica, they have a blog and a YouTube channel called Exploring the Local Life. And they recommended that, and that is something that only a full-timer in winter would probably have a problem with, but they recommended that a must-have is a dehumidifier. And I don't really need that when I'm as you know, I'm a part-timing weekend warrior at the moment. I don't really, whenever I am camping, it's usually here in Florida, and it's warm, so I have my air conditioning on. But I noticed when I was up there, I was up north in the cold for almost 2 weeks. And it gets humid in there because, you know, you have all your windows closed. That furnace doesn't really remove any humidity. And it's your same air that you're breathing in there. And after a couple of days, you know, like the ceiling in the it gets wet. So yeah, definitely, I think a dehumidifier is a great idea to have. Now I'm gonna make a video, probably in a couple of days, called RVing Essentials Part 2. And these are some of the things that people have recommended, and I think most of them are really important. For example, for your sewer hose, you know, poop time, if you will, you need a clear sewer elbow. In my case, I didn't get an elbow. I used to have an elbow, but I got a straight because my sewer outlet on the RV is so close to the ground, you know. It's unusually close to the ground. And then if I also put an elbow, I'm not going to have any, you know, incline, you know, for gravity to do its thing and for stuff to anyway, you know, you don't want to talk about that stuff. But yeah, you need something clear just to see what's coming out of your black water tank, especially when you're flushing your black water tank, if you have a flush. And, you know, you need to wait until the water comes out somewhat clear. And when it comes out clear, well, that's a good sign that you probably removed all the poop from the bottom of your black water tank. Another thing that you need, and yes, I've had to use this a couple of times, a lot of campgrounds, especially the ones that cater mostly to big rigs. And if you have a big rig, you don't have this problem as much. But I've encountered some campgrounds in central Florida, in central western Florida, where they only have 50-amp hookups. And what happens when your trailer is 30-amp? Well, you need an adapter. And you need a 30 to 50-amp adapter. And also an extension cord. I do have a 30-amp extension cord. Do not use one of those from Home Depot. You need an RV extension cord. And that's very, very important to have. Just at least the adapter. Because you're going to encounter that one campground that is only going to have 50 amps, and yet they're going to try to sell you or rent you one for $20-$30, who knows. Also, wheel chucks, and that's something that I forgot to mention in my original list, but definitely wheel chucks. You need some kind of wheel chucks, and I used to have the one that is like an X that grabs the wheels, you know, your tandem axles from the inside. Do not get that. Get the one that is like a wedge, you know, on the ground. that prevents your wheels from moving. That's the one you want to get. A headlamp, of course, that I got. A fire extinguisher, important to have. You know, all RVs by law, they come with at least one fire extinguisher. But I think it's good to have also a portable unit somewhere else in the RV where you can just grab it and at least, you know, use it to work your way out of the RV. Do not try to put out the fire if your RV catches fire. Just get the heck out of there as soon as possible. Also, emergency cone warning sign, you know, those flares, you know, that's if you break down in the middle of the road, it's good to have those emergency cones so people see you at night. And the warning signs. Magnifying lens, someone else suggested. I don't know if I really need a magnifying lens, but it's good to have sometimes. Lettering on some items can be small. And okay, this one is very important in Florida, especially if you come to Florida in the summer. God bless you. It's going to be unpleasantly hot and humid. But there's also a lot of mosquitoes, and someone recommended that I add a bug spray to the list. But in Florida, and I went to Alaska also in the summer, and bug spray is not enough. You need citronella candles, you need to drink a lot of B12 vitamins, you need, you need to go all in mosquito deterrent substances. You know, I even used to use something that smelled like horrible. It smelled like rotten garlics, but it worked. But the citronella, I have a citronella, you know, one of those vaporizers, you know, with essential oils, and I have this citronella incense and candles, and of course the bug spray DEET 10 or whatever the maximum is. Yeah, that's very important. Security cameras and backup cameras. I don't have any of those yet. Sometimes I use one of my action cameras, you know, that you can monitor from your phone. If I have to, hitch the trailer by myself, and I've had to do that a couple of times when I was doing some solo travel a couple of weeks ago. But for the most part, yes, security cameras, yes, I guess if you are full-time and you boondock a lot, in places of questionable reputation, security cameras. Actually, I think a dash camera is even more important, because if you get involved in an accident or anything like that, you want to have a visual record of what happened. Well, anyways, I think I've yapped enough for one day. I feel really humbled and honored that you all choose to listen to me every week, and I'm gonna try to provide some more content. I'm gonna see if I can get a couple more interviews and do a little some safety episodes and some episodes on tips and tricks and all other places to visit. And if you have any suggestions, of course, you know the email, and you know where to send me a voicemail. It really is my intention to do this, tell stories and take you to places with me virtually by the magic of the internet and YouTube, or whatever comes after YouTube. You know, it's just video. By the way, I'm starting to publish my videos also on Amazon. If you have an Amazon Prime account, just search for Robert Morales or Traveling Robert, one of the two. And I published my first video, and it's available online. The American Wild West road trip that I did from, you know, in the Four Corners region, you know, Colorado, Utah, Arizona. And that was a great trip. And that's available on Amazon now. So that's pretty cool. And doing documentaries of my travels is what I would love to do for the rest of my life. And if you listen to the podcast and watch the videos and all that, you know, that's how I make money. I also make money through Amazon affiliate links. So when you buy an Amazon and you go through one of my links, you know, it costs you the same, and I get a little bit of money here and there. I also sell my music. Or if you listen to my music on Spotify, Every little bit adds. And I also have I've had it for a while, an affiliation with RV Share, which is a company that that lets, you know, people like you and me rent our RVs, and people, you know, rent RVs from us. And if you go through the link in the show notes, and somebody rents the RV from you, or you rent the RV from somebody, I get a bit of a commission too. So that's all good. And one of these days, I'm going to write a book too. Of course, always a pleasure chatting with you guys. And until the next time, thank you so much for listening. And see you on the road.
In my RV, yeah. Riding with my RV.
My RV.
Wherever I wanna be. Cause I'm free. Riding with my RV,
my RV,
wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV.